missionary to this area that you live. Amen. We're so thankful that we've made connections through the years. Amen. With souls here, people coming, people walking in our church. Amen. We're seeing that. We're discipling. We've had house to house. Amen. Five different locations on the last Tuesday of the month, trying to disciple people, to help people. Amen. Right around the corner, we had Friendsgiving, a great opportunity last year to fill this place up. Even the judge, one of our judges and his families were with us. People that came to Apostolic Lighthouse, 1,583 people last year, guests that came to the doors of this facility. We're so thankful for what God is going to do, amen, in lives and souls. But if we don't take it to go, if we don't get this gospel to go, what good is it? That's the reason why we're so involved in missions, because missions has to be involved in our hearts right here. It makes you appreciate somebody. How would you like? All of a sudden, Isabel's, man, I love to pick on Isabel so much. Izzy, how would you like it if the Lord called you and your husband to go to a culture, a different culture, different language, a place that, I mean, totally different. And I mean, away from every, I mean, you'll be an ocean away from your brother, little Roy. She likes that. But you're never an ocean away from the power. The same God that feels here is a God that feels there with the power of his spirit. Amen. And we're so blessed tonight. We've known Brother Collins. We've seen him through the years at Heritage Conference and different places. His dad, amen. We're blessed tonight that he has come to Nacogdoches, Texas. Amen. And I want him to come today and, amen. Brother, we want to put our finger on your pulse, and we want your heartbeat to be given to us to challenge us and to encourage us. You just never know which one in this place that's going to take it and run with it and take it to go to somebody's soul. Amen. God bless Brother Collins.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Please be seated. Man, it is a privilege to be in the house of I realize that God does not owe us the opportunity to come to his house, but I'm thankful every time he gives us the privilege to once again come into his house. Amen. And any time that God allows me that opportunity, I want to get everything from God that he would have me to get. Amen. And it is a privilege. Thank you so much, Pastor Crosswhite, for the opportunity to be here. I think the first time I met him was probably at Heritage. I think that was in 2008. Yeah, I hadn't even graduated high school yet. I think I'd have been maybe 10th grade or something like that. So it's been a few days ago. Amen. One thing I like about Brother Crosswhite, he doesn't look any different now than he did when I saw him before. Amen. I mean, maybe his hair's changed colors or something, but naturally, that is. Amen. Amen. But it's such a privilege to finally be here. My wife asked me to tell you and your family hello. She remembers coming here when she was a missionary to Mexico. Now she's a missionary to a far better place. Amen. I'm just joking. I told the church in Mexico a few months ago, I got the greatest thing out of Mexico. That was my wife. She's a Wakefield, if you who my wife is. Her parents are missionaries to Mexico, and she remembers coming here. Usually she travels with me, but it didn't work out this time. But I won't be any longer or any worse than when she is with me. So don't have to worry about that. I've never preached or taught over 3 hours. So you don't have anything to worry about tonight. Amen. It is a privilege to work for God in Taiwan. I like that flag you have back there. And the one on the right, we would say, is Bijiao Hao, compared to the one on the left. Much better. Mainland China and Taiwan. Mainland China feels like we're a part of them, even though Taiwan has never been a part of mainland China. And Elder Bracken said we can say this, and so I'm going to say it. When you pray against China. Don't pray against the Chinese people, but pray against the communist government. Amen. They're of the devil. The truth. Amen. The devil is what drives them. And the only thing that you can worship in mainland China is Xi Jinping, which is the dictator of China. And to me, that sounds contrary to Scripture. And that's how the devil operates in China, is he wants God to be stamped out. You can't stamp God out. God still has a church in China. There's still people that are full of the Holy Ghost in China. Amen. And there will be more. Amen. The devil can't stop it. And thankfully in Taiwan, we have freedom of religion. We can preach. You can stand out on the street corner and preach if you so choose. And they do not hinder us. China would like to change that if they could take over. And so we ask for your prayers. Pray against China. Pray that God would send you to send revival in both China and Taiwan. We do speak a different language. We speak Mandarin Chinese. Anybody here speak Mandarin Chinese? You do? Oh, okay. Ni hao, ni hui shuo zhongwen ma? Ni ke ge wo fan ni ma? Yeah, I just asked her if she could translate for me. Amen. Amen. Mandarin Chinese is a little bit interesting. I grew up in a place similar to this in Idaho. We got hillbillies up there, and I can tell just by driving around here, you got some around here too. Amen. I feel right at home. Amen. Nothing that a little duct tape and baling twine can't fix. Amen. Yeah, don't think I'm a city boy. I grew up in the country. And so going from that lifestyle in our town, on a good day, there's around 50,000 people in Twin Falls where I was raised. I went to a town where there's around 8 million people. And that's just a little bit of a change. In my neighborhood, they call it a district, there's 200,000 people. It's less than 3 square miles. And that equates to about 70,000 people per square mile. And so there's people everywhere. And that was a little bit of a change to get used to, being around all these different people. And then the language. I speak hillbilly, and now I'm a hillbilly that speaks Mandarin Chinese. And I have a lot of fun with it in America, because you can tell I look very Chinese. And you can surprise a lot of people who speak Chinese when you start to speak to them in Chinese. And I get a fair amount of practice with my Chinese when I'm here, because all these telemarketers, boy, they get frustrated with me. I had one today, just kept asking if I spoke English, and so I just kept asking him in Chinese if he spoke Chinese. He finally gave up first, and he hung up. But Chinese is interesting. Have the Brackens ever been here before? Okay, good. So you've heard some about Taiwan then. We have a little bit different perspective, not than Elder and Sister Bracken, because we were right about the same age when we moved there. Brother Chris Bracken, he is Chinese. He grew up there, and that's just what he is. And so our perspective is a little different than his, just because we're more like his folks were, moving there after we had lived in America for quite some time. And Chinese is a tonal language. So you take one word, and you can say it four different ways. There's four tones. That same written word can be four different things. For instance, I heard a man teaching, and he was attempting to teach us to be living, present ourselves living sacrifice unto God, which is scriptural. However, the word he used was interesting, because the word for living sacrifice is huoji, and the word for turkey is huoji. And he was teaching that we were to present ourselves living turkeys unto God. And it's just a tone difference. As you preach, especially an American, just the way our inflection runs, if I'm saying our God is a great God, more than likely my emphasis is going to be on the word God, because that's who we're trying to emphasize. Our God is a great God. Well, if you do that in Chinese and you're not careful with your tones, you change it to our kidney is a great kidney. God is Shun. And kidney is Shun. And so you have to be very careful with your speaking. You can say a lot of funny things very quickly. And so that is one of the most interesting things getting used to, is these different tones. English has 26 letters. Chinese doesn't have an alphabet, but their closest thing would be the characters that you see. And there's 50,000 of those. So if you think that alphabet song is long, you try and sing some of those characters. Nobody sings them. I'm just being funny. But about 50,000 of them. They say nobody knows them all, and I believe that. They say combined people can come up with them all. I believe a high school graduate will know upwards of 10,000 characters. And those are characters that they can write from memory. They may be able to read more, but they'll know at least 10,000 characters that they can write from memory. It's not too bad to copy one down, but when you have to recall them from memory, it's incredibly difficult. Then you get into college, and some of the basic college graduates will know up into the 15,000 to 20,000 range. Grad students will know even higher, up into the 20,000 range, that they're able to write and remember. Thankfully, with technology, I don't have to remember how to write characters. I can speak it into a phone. They have what they call pinyin, which is taking the romanization, the letters we use in English, and taking those to make your Chinese character. So I can type it in such like that, and it will transpose it to characters. Believe it or not, reading characters is not difficult. They tell a story. Once you learn the story behind the character, it sticks. Pay attention to what I'm saying. The way the world is going, y'all may be speaking Chinese before too long, and you'll have a little head start on some of the other folks. I've told a few places, I said, we'll be happy to help you. Maybe we'll do some Zoom lessons or something, kind of help you out. You helped us learn Chinese, we'll help you learn a little bit too. Amen. But we're able to just use technology to bypass the writing, and thankfully just the reading and the speaking. And God is helping us. I don't believe God will send you to a place and not give you the ability to learn the language. And the government says it takes 600 hours to learn and be fluent in Spanish. These are classroom hours. And it's the same amount of time for one of them European countries. Sweden, I think it was what they were saying. It's another 600 hours to learn their language. Swahili was around 900 hours. Mandarin Chinese is 2,200 hours. So it takes a few days. But God is helping us. And I don't say that to complain. It's just to give you an idea of what it is to learn this language. But God has helped us. I've very soon we'll be preaching all in Chinese. I've had to do it before because my translator was sick. It was sink or swim. So we decided to swim for a bit before we sank. Amen. But God is good to us, and continuing to learn that language, that'll be a lifetime project. Elder and Sister Bracken tell me they still learn new things, and they have spoken fluently for years. And so just the way it is. We pastor in the city of Taipei and another city called Hsinchu, just south of where we're at. Taipei is the capital city up on the north end of the island. Hsinchu is known as the Silicon Valley of Taiwan, very expensive. Most of you probably have smartphones. More than likely, the little chip that makes your phone run came from where we live. I guess in some ways it wouldn't be a bad thing if that industry would shut down. That's a story for a different day. But chips are produced there in Hsinchu. But more importantly than that, God is allowing us to preach his gospel there. And it works just like it does here. Amen. The Bible says God's not a respecter of persons. And I believe that applies in more ways than one. God doesn't have a special way for you and a special way for somebody else. Got one way. Amen. Doesn't matter the color of your skin, the language you speak, where you're from, how you've been raised. God's got one way for everybody. Amen. And so we tell the Chinese, you have to repent of your sins. And I found something I had never found there before. I had a very kind old lady who has been attending church faithfully for some time, a Buddhist background, tell me, she's not related to Adam. I said, oh, really? Because we were teaching about sin. Now, everybody since Adam has been born into sin. She said, well, I'm not related to Adam. I said, well, you are related to Adam. And I began to teach her from the Word of God. But it doesn't matter where you're from. You've got to repent of your sin. Amen. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Amen. And you have to receive the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. Bida shuo ni man garen yao hui gai. Fong yesu ji du de ming shou shi jiao ni man de zui de shi jiao bi ling shou suo zi de sheng ling. Amen. Peter preached in Chinese. At least in my Bible he did. Amen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And a very important one for anybody that wants to live for God, but especially for people that are coming out of a pagan culture, worshiping idols. Amen. They need to know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Amen. And it worked for them. It's working for them just like it worked for you and it worked for me. Amen. We're not looking for some new way. Rather, we're just going to preach the Word of God and allow God to do what He does. Amen. And it's exciting to see people come out of idolatry. There are people in the church in Taiwan who were temple workers. These are people who were very into what goes on there. Buddhism and Taoism are the biggest religion. Buddha, you're probably familiar with, the little fat man. And Taoism's a little bit different. Believe it or not, they got a little trinity right up on the top of their temple, amongst all kinds of other things that they got in there. They serve these gods. They have these hideous creatures. They're not real. There's real spirits behind them, but the creation's not real. But they are terrified of these things, and they look awful. They make these hideous figures, and these people serve these idols out of fear. Amen. I'm thankful that we serve a God that we love because He first loved us. Amen. And when they get the revelation that there is one God, and He loves me, and He cares about me, what a difference is made when they are introduced to Him. And it's a privilege to be able to carry this gospel to another country. Some people feel bad for missionaries, don't feel bad for us. Amen. I won't feel bad for you for living in Texas, but if you want to feel bad for somebody, let's all feel bad for those people who live in California. Amen. I was just in California a couple weeks ago, and I was happy to tell them that I would actually feel bad for them instead. Amen. Amen. But we're happy to be in Taiwan, thankful for what God is doing. Appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight, and my desire would be that I could be a blessing to you before we leave here tonight. Would you stand with me? I will not be long. 7:45. Man. I won't keep you any longer than God will keep you. How about that? Amen. John chapter number 2. We'll read the beginning at verse number 1. John chapter 2, verse number 1. Thank you again, Pastor Crosswhite, for the opportunity to be here and all those snacks in the room and for the room. Amen. I was doing my best to demolish those snacks right before I came and have a little bit left of the race when I get back to the room. Amen. But I appreciate those very, very much. John chapter 2, verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. What an excellent response when Jesus tells you to do something. These people had some faith. I'm not going to preach about that tonight, but man, I want to have that kind of faith. If Jesus says, fill it up, I want it to fill it up all the way. Amen. He said unto him, draw out now. Bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. When men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Pastor Crossway, would you pray? Amen. The Lord bless you. Please be seated. Amen. Amen. This is a story that most people are probably familiar with. Perhaps even the Sunday school children are familiar with the story. It's one that we hear often. The first miracle that Jesus performed as he walked on the earth. However, from what I can tell, this was just another wedding. And it was just the beginning of two people's lives, no doubt a man and a woman, the way that God created it to be, their life together. And it was just another celebration for those that had gathered to attend. It was just another instance of supplies running out. But here, 2,000 years later, we're still speaking about this wedding in a different country. We don't even know these people's names. The Bible doesn't make that important to us. We're talking about them because they ran out of supplies. And it's supposed to be a happy time. And this would be a disappointment for some, not the way that they would want their wedding to go. But that's not why we remember this story. Rather, the reason we still talk and preach from the story is because Jesus was there. And had it not been that Jesus intervened, I don't believe we would read this story in the Bible. It would have just been a wedding where somebody didn't plan quite properly and they ran out of supplies and they lived happily ever after anyways. Maybe. Amen. But Jesus was there. And because of the impact that Jesus had on this celebration, forever it's marked in history in the Word of God. And tonight we speak about it again. I want to preach or teach for just a few minutes tonight. We need Jesus. You know, there's a lot of churches in the world. There's a lot of apostolic churches in the world. And unfortunately, there are some, even apostolic churches, that they feel they can go without Jesus. There's people having church without Jesus. They can say all the right things. They can do all kinds of things. And Jesus is nowhere near to what they've got going on. But we need Jesus. Amen. If we're going to be bettered when we come to the house of God, it's only going to be because Jesus came and touched us. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's a wedding like this story or if it's a church service. We need Jesus. And we see his impact as he traveled around on this earth and the different places he would visit. Jesus did not like status quo. Jesus liked to disrupt traditions. Amen. I believe God still likes to do that. We get stuck in ruts. And we expect it's got to be this way or it's not going to happen. Amen. You build a box for Jesus, get it just his size, get him inside it and close it up. You open it back up. He's not going to be in there. You can't box him in. He's going to do what he wants to do if we'll allow him to do it. Jesus came to Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, verse number 16, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. If the historians are accurate, it seems to me that these synagogue services were very boring. There was scripture reading, some singing, and it was all being conducted by people who were hypocrites. They didn't live what they were teaching. It was, thou shalt not do this. And as my dad used to say, it's not do as I say, not as I do. Did I say that right? My Chinese is messing my brain. Do as I say, not as I do. Yeah, that's what they were doing. Yeah. Yeah, they could tell you the Word of God, but they weren't living by the Word of God. And so it created a pretty boring atmosphere. And there's a lot of churches in our world that use the same Word of God. And it's do as I say, not as I do. And it creates a boring, dead, dry atmosphere where nothing ever happens. Amen. In fact, I believe the Bible indicates that people leave worse than they came. I believe Jesus said to some of these hypocrites, you make them twofold more the child of hell than they were to begin with. And so Jesus came and was disrupting their customs. And he stood up for to read. It was going to be a little bit different on this day. Jesus was going to read his own word. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. But there was something different about when Jesus started to read. Bible tells us all the eyes of them in the synagogue were fastened on him. All he had done was read the word that they had heard no doubt many times before. But there was something different about it this time, because God himself was speaking and telling them, this is what I have come to do. And Jesus began to speak to them. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? So this was a church service, we could say, that was blessed by the presence of Jesus Christ. And the people could tell there's something different about this service than the last service I was in. Amen. When people come to this house of God, they feel a difference than the other places that they've been. Amen. Not because of who's here, not because of the way you have your sanctuary set up, but because of the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is here. Amen. People can feel a difference. People know what fake is and what real is. Amen. In Taiwan, we've had people wonder what we put in the air that makes them cry. Chinese people are pretty stoic, typically, and you can't be stoic in the presence of God. And they'll come in and God will begin to move on them. And they'll begin to cry. And they want to know, what are you putting in the air to make us cry? We're not putting anything in the air. Amen. It's Jesus that you're feeling. And so here, these people have been in the presence of God. And some of them had a hard time overcoming the fact that they knew Jesus. And isn't this Joseph's son? We grew up around him. And it's different, but some of them just couldn't get over this. And it amazes me that not everybody wanted to have Jesus around. Some people enjoyed their customs so much and their traditions, they didn't want him to be changed. He was messing up their plans. If they had crock pots back then on Sunday morning, their crock pot meal was burning because Jesus was taking a little bit longer than the hypocrites took. Amen. Amen. And people were being healed. God forbid that you heal on the Sabbath. You may remember there was one story where the master of the synagogue He told Jesus, there's six other days you can heal in the week, but not on the Sabbath. What a clown. Amen. And there's still people like that in our world today, even in the apostolic church. They want it to be this, this, and this. And if it's not that way, boy, their feathers get ruffled and their, is it called hackles? Yeah, their hackles. Whew, their hackles stand up. They don't want to be disrupted. There are people who would rather have dead, dry, boring church with nobody getting healed, nobody being delivered, nobody being forgiven, nobody being set free from sin, than to have Jesus come and do the work that he came to do. And in the Bible, it wasn't that they just didn't want him to do his work. They wanted to kill him. That's how holy they were. Yeah. He said unto them, a little bit further down, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. He said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Ooh, Jesus knew how to get them fired up. Amen. He began to point out to them there was people being helped that were not considered a part of the people of God. Amen. There was not. It's not because there was not needs amongst his people. Amen. But they were so set in their ways, and they were going to do things their way, turn their back on God. And God said, okay, I'll work over here where Naaman the old Syrian has faith enough to believe to be healed. And to work here for this widow woman. And oh, they got fired up. They're filled with wrath. They went from the church pew to trying to throw Jesus off a cliff. Rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of a hill whereon their city was built, that they may cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. You think that would have got their attention? Here we are just trying to throw Jesus off, and all of a sudden he just walks away. It's amazing how blinded people can be when they build their traditions and try and block Jesus out. Amen. But Jesus began to remind them that God intervened and did miracles where he was welcome. Amen. Just because Israel was God's chosen people didn't mean he was going to beat down the door to help them. Amen. And this made them mad. And boy, they wanted to kill him. And they didn't want Jesus there. They didn't want their lives and their way of doing things to be changed. But not everybody had that kind of attitude. There were a lot of people that did. But there was a lot of people who wanted Jesus. And that's the response I want to focus on for just a few more minutes. How I believe our response to Jesus should be. Luke 4 and 31, just down further now. He came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For his word was with power. They realized there's something different about this guy, and we want to hear him just a little bit more. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. I find it interesting that this man seems to have felt comfortable in church until Jesus came. The devil's comfortable in a place where Jesus is not at. But when Jesus is in a place, the devil cannot be comfortable. Amen. When demon-possessed people, which still exist in our world, maybe even more so than before, they just wear a different outfit nowadays. Amen. I don't want them to feel comfortable on our church pews. Amen. If they want delivered, I want to see God deliver them or God to send them out the door. Amen. And when Jesus came in, this spirit could not tolerate it. And he began to cry out. Yeah, let us alone. What do we have to do? He just said, hold thy peace and come out of him. And the people, their response was a lot different. It wasn't Jesus, get out of here. No, they were amazed. And the word began to spread. This man has power. And they didn't mind their traditions and their lives being disrupted. It was as if with open arms they accepted Jesus. And in the Bible where we read, I see that where Jesus was needed, if I could put it that way, people were set free. People were healed. People were delivered. People received salvation. And after the miracle of deliverance that Jesus performed, his fame began to go out to others. That sounds to me like people who were witnessing. Hey, you need to come to my church. Jesus was doing this the last time we were in church. Remember how it used to be dead and boring and dry and dull? Man, you ought to see what happened when Jesus comes to church. He arose. He went out of the synagogue, entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and laid his hands. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Every one of them and healed them. Devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. He rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. When it was day, he departed, went into a desert place, and the people sought him. There's a lot different response now. People are seeking him. They came to him. They stayed him that he should not depart from them. He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. It was a lot different response when some people realized we need Jesus. Amen. We can't go with the same old status quo that we've been experiencing for however many eons that they had experienced that. And where Jesus was, anything was possible. And I believe it's still the same today. Where Jesus is, anything is possible. Where people can feel and recognize their need of him. Oftentimes in our life, there are things that can... I can't think of the English word, but they hinder our desire for God. Sometimes it's our possessions that we call blessings. Sometimes it's our hobbies and our own desires, things that we want to do. And it can hinder our need for God. It doesn't change our need for God, but it can hinder. It can cause us to not be able to recognize, just like we need to, how much we need God. Amen. And I'm preaching that we need Jesus. Paul said that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. It seems to me that Paul's saying Jesus is not very far from you, but it does indicate there's a little distance. What's your desire like? You've got to do something to reach out to God. God can reach you on his own. He doesn't need you to participate, but this is how he chose to operate. You've got to be a part. It's in Jesus that we have life. Amen. You don't believe that, just ask him to shut off your air for a while. See how long you can go. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. Amen. Jesus is the way, the only way. There's no other way. But does my desire, my feeling of need for God, match that of realizing Jesus is the only way? He's the truth. He's the life. How bad do I really need Him? It's in Jesus that we have new life and that we're freed from sins. The sin that held us captive, we couldn't break it on our own. It took Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, things, all things are become new. I believe we could say then, therefore, if you are not in Christ, you are not a new creature. We need Jesus. Amen. When you want to change, you need Jesus. Amen. You don't need medicines. You don't need psychiatrists, psychologists. You don't need all the things that the world says you need. You really just need Jesus. Amen. People want to belong to God. They say they claim God, that they accept Him. Has God accepted you? That's what I see Paul being concerned about, that he would be accepted of God. And Paul made clear that if you're going to be the child of God, you've got to have the Spirit of God. He said, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. We need Jesus. Amen. I'm not a child of God if I don't have the Spirit of God inside of me. I need Him to make that connection become as Father and child. Amen. It takes what we've quoted earlier, Acts 2:38, the plan of salvation. That's how you get Jesus in your life. Amen. It's not repeating some prayer and just hoping for the best. No, it's obeying God's plan because we need Him. Amen. People worry in our world. It's a crazy world. Brother Savala mentioned it tonight. It's a crazy world. And every day we read things that just blow your mind. Can't believe how the world is operating. In the country we live in, China, it is a threat. And people wonder, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to America? We don't know. But our safety is of God. People worry about these different things. And I think that's normal to be concerned about them. I don't think we ought to worry about them. But we're concerned about them. But the prophet said in Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. He's just pretty much to the point. It's by God's mercy that we're not consumed. Because of His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And we can't change what's going on in the world. We don't have any control over that. But I need Jesus. Amen. He's my protector. He's my safety. In Him I have peace and I have hope. Amen. I realize this is simple tonight, but I just got to give you what God gave me. We need Jesus in everything. When I'm driving my car, I need Jesus. Amen. When I'm trying to learn that crazy language, Mandarin Chinese, I need Jesus. As I go about my day, I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my family. I need Jesus in my marriage. I need Jesus to help me to raise my kids right. Really, in everything, I need Jesus. And most certainly, when I come to church, we need Jesus. Amen. When I'm reaching out to other people, I need Jesus. Without Him, we're wasting our time on these things. Amen. When you hand out a flyer to somebody and invite them to church, if Jesus isn't in it, it's a waste of your time and a waste of your finances. Amen. But if Jesus blesses it, that can be the lifeline to somebody being saved. Your testimony without Jesus in it is just another story. But blessed by the hand of God, it could be the avenue for somebody getting saved. And church service without Jesus is just a social gathering. Amen. Place where people come and leave the way that they came. They're not changed if Jesus is not there. But if Jesus is there, people are filled with the Holy Ghost. Lives are changed. People are healed. Deliverance is received. Amen. Where people need Jesus. Would you stand with me tonight? However you close, if you sing, whatever you do. Amen. I just feel like asking you, how bad do you need Jesus? Amen. Do you feel your need of Him? As Paul said, feel after Him. He's close to you. He knocks on the door of our hearts, but it's up to us if we're going to let Him in. Revelation 3:20, Jesus speaking to one of the churches, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, he with me." Amen. Jesus could break down the door if He wanted to, but that's not the way He operates. He moves on people who need Him and who feel their need of Him. Somebody who needs Jesus, when they feel that knocking, they're going to open that door because they realize, I really need Him. Amen. How much do you need Him tonight? Amen. I want God to give me a revelation of how much I really need Him, more than words. I need Jesus. Would you lift your hands and talk to the Lord?
Step forward just for a moment, Brother Frank. I want you to step forward and say, God, more than everything, I need you. I need you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
More than everything.
Come on, talk to Him, Lord, I need you. More, express it to the Lord, more than anything.
More than anything.
Come on, realize we run out. We don't have it all. I need you tonight, God.
More than anything.
Express it to Him, Lord, I need you.
Anything.
Come on, make it a personal thing tonight to Him.
More than anything.
More than anything. I love you, Jesus.
I love you.
I love you. Come on, express that love and back to Him. Come on, would you just connect with the Almighty right now? Lift your hands and connect to Him. God, I need that flow. I need your spirit. I need your word, Lord. I need your glory tonight, God, your power. Hallelujah. I need you more than anything. Hallelujah. More than anything. Come on, church, it's not over right now. Come on. Come on, the Lord's wanting to connect with souls. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this moment. More than anything, I love you. More than anything, feel the hand of God want to touch and minister right now. Come on, let the hand of God minister to you. More than anything, I love you. Only you can give him that, give him that honor. Only you can give him that praise. Only you can give that part of you. Come on, only you can give that part of you tonight. More than anything. More than anything. I love you. Hallelujah. Oh. with you tonight. I want you to realize that the scripture that Brother Collins brought forth tonight, the beginning, this text, there was a wedding and there was a situation where inventory, supply, accounting was not proper. And somebody found that there was an emptiness. They ran out of provision. They ran out. There was emptiness. Have you realized in your life that you were run out? You don't have it. And you need Jesus. You need the Master right now. Hallelujah. And Mary said, do what he says. Do what he says. Amen. Right now, would you just, with this portion of the service, I want you, amen, to do what the Master's saying to you. Would you admit, God, I have emptiness. I have brokenness. God, I have failures. Come on, that's not an insult to God when somebody just admits and somebody submits to the Master their brokenness, their failures, and their emptiness. Amen. Would you just lift your hands right now and say, God, here it is. Lord, would you feel? Come on. Hallelujah. Would you feel? Would you feel? Would you feel my emptiness? Feel my brokenness. Feel my failures, God. My lackings, oh God, feel them, Lord. Make them the difference, God, that empty spot in my life, God, that inadequate place. God, that place that I run, Lord, dry. That place I run with failures, continue, God, the same old habit, the same old problem. God, that same old lacking, Lord Jesus. I need your touch, I need your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, would you feel me, Lord? God, let that flow come. Let that, God, that fresh, that best, God, that you have, that glory from heaven, Lord Jesus, let it transform even my taste, God. Let it transform, Lord, my heart, Lord Jesus. Just take the simple part of me, God, and fill it with the glory of you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now I want you to pray with somebody. Don't stand away from somebody. I want you to go to somebody. And I want you to pray with them right now. Don't pray for them. I want you to pray with them. Hallelujah. I want you to pray that God would touch and minister to them. Hallelujah. Let his great power and his great mercy, amen, minister to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray with that person. Lord, I believe you and I trust you. I ask you in faith, Lord Jesus, that you would just bridge the gap. Hallelujah. Bridge the gap, Lord. I pray right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Come on, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. Something's happening. Amen. Something's happening in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Something's happening in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because somebody's just letting God. Amen. A yielded vessel, an empty vessel, an admitting vessel, a submitting vessel, God sees. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. I reach to you tonight. God, we come together tonight, Lord, as people, recognizing God, our inadequacies, recognizing our lackings, recognizing our needs tonight, Jesus. We give over to you. We believe you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're the great physician, precious Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No one can bind your wounds with their own scars.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God liberty right now to minister. Come on, God's ready. God's here. Come on, God's here. Come on, God's here. Give God that liberty to do it.
No one can touch your life
like Jesus can.
No one can give you peace you cannot understand.
Bind those wounds. Hallelujah. Those nails scarred hands is well able.
No one can touch you like.
In the name of Jesus, receive right now. Come on, receive what God's doing. Receive what the Master's doing. In the name of the Lord. Holy as a lamb. Hallelujah. You cannot understand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can.
can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can.
Sing it again.
No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can.
One more time. Just give the honor to the Lord tonight. If you had great need tonight, you had a great need, whether it's healing, but you needed an answer from heaven tonight. And it was a pressing need and a pressing situation. You need an answer. And you know tonight that the front of this building, I said, okay, whoever gets to the spot gets your answer. If it's a pressing need, a healing, an answer, many people would make their way. Tonight, it's more than a spot up here. It's the presence of the Almighty God in this room. That has your answer. There was a man that waited by the well for the waters to be, by the pool, waited for the waters to be troubled, but Jesus came. The waters were never troubled, even for his healing, but Jesus came and did more than trouble the waters. Jesus healed that man. And I'm thankful the Lord is here right now. Do you need an answer tonight from God? Amen. Do you need healing in your body right now? Amen. I want you to do something. I want you to realize the Master's. Amen. He's coming at your place of waiting. Amen. Would you lift your hands again? I feel a healing tonight for somebody in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would you receive that healing right now? That supernatural answer right now. Come on. God still operates in the supernatural. Amen. God still ministers in a way that only He can. Amen. Would you give God that opportunity to lift your hands and receive right now? I pray for that healing in that body right now in this room. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for that supernatural answer, Lord, that only you can give, Lord, by the power of the Word of God. Come on, believe right now as you pray. Believe by your faith that God make you whole. In the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of the Word of God, I believe you and I trust you right now, Lord, for the power, name, the glory. Of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you lift your voice and just thank the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Brother Savala would tell you, Brother Collins would tell you that, amen, even myself, many times we don't know how God's going to end a message. We can't make the Holy Ghost do a certain thing. The only thing we got to do is just like the servants, they went and filled the water pot full. And the preacher has to deliver and obey the Holy Ghost. The minister has to obey that. Same thing with the saint. The servants there at that wedding feast, they had to just go get it, fill it up with water, and they filled it to the brim. When you fully obey God and do the very best to complete the order, God will always do the rest. Amen. Even though they brought it, they knew it was water. They brought it to the governor of the feast, and they set it before them. And the Bible says the servant knew. They knew it was just water. But just simple common things in the hand of the master. Amen. When God touches it, amen, God transforms it, makes it, amen, what we call a miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for what he's done. Amen. What he's done tonight. When you recognize whoever tonight, when you recognize that you got your miracle, I want you to text me and let me know and share with the church, okay? I felt the Lord done something tonight in this place. Amen. When you recognize an answer, I want you to let me know about it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love you. Thank you, Brother Collins. Amen. For sharing with us tonight the word of the Lord. Amen. Your burden and your vision and your heartbeat. Amen. Praise God. Remember, Saturday there is no men's prayer breakfast due to Brother Colton being in a sickness and having to work and all this. Amen. God bless you. Sunday morning, we'll see you Sunday morning and Sunday night. We're looking forward to what God will be doing. God bless you. Let's go to heaven, Hal. Yes. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. We welcome you and we ask you to go with us in Jesus' name.